Welcome, welcome, welcome. Appreciate your attendance very, very much because you can kind of see a few empty spaces, so you are here. Appreciate that so, so much. It's always just good to get together. Not only enjoy the friendship and the fellowship, but as a congregation, we give our praise and our worship to God. So appreciate your attendance. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning if you'd like to follow along with the things I've prepared. Ask my brethren to sometime look around. Be sure to, you know, if someone doesn't have a bulletin, you didn't pick one up, please share. Had a request to present a sermon on the end times, the last days. So this lesson is about the day of the Lord. The Bible refers to it in some other words as a day or that day, judgment day. It's going to take place at Jesus' second coming. In the text that was read to us, it says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Oh, the day of the Lord will come. In Acts chapter 17, verse 31, Paul said, he has appointed a day, designated day, appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained. He's given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Ah, there's an appointed day. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand, nearing the end of his physical life. He said, I fought a good fight, finished the race, kept the faith. So henceforth there laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. But not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. So we know there's going to be a day, a judgment day. A day that the Lord will come. So I put first thing in your notes, just the assurance of Jesus coming. You're very familiar with these verses that draw attention to that. Jesus said it during his ministry. John chapter 14, beginning of verse 1, said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. So I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I will come again. In Acts chapter 1, when they have the ascension of Jesus, he was, the disciples and others are gathered there, and when he was taken up. Yeah. And then the angel said, this same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Yeah, he's coming back. Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're waiting for his coming. We're waiting for it. So we know there's going to be a great day, a judgment day, that day. And Jesus is coming back, we know, for that day. But then the next point, we have no knowledge of when that coming it will happen. No knowledge. Jesus said it in Matthew 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour knows no one. Nobody knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, now here's the illustration. They were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. And in verse 42, Jesus said, so watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Don't know. In Luke chapter 12, verse 40, Jesus said it again in his earthly ministry. Therefore, you also be ready. There's the watchword, isn't it? Be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, he gives the illustration his coming will be as a thief in the night. And that was in the text that was read to us too. So we have the assurance of Jesus coming. But we just don't know. Don't know when. But the watchword is for us to be ready. Because we don't know. Putting your notes, date setters have been wrong. These are not the only date setters. I just kind of go back about 200 years, but there were date setters 1,000 years ago and even in the second century. Because people thought, oh, well, Jesus is coming again. It might be in our, in the second century. But so date setters have always been wrong. There was a man named William Miller. You might be familiar with him. He's an Adventist. He predicted October 1843. His followers, they disposed of their property. They dressed themselves in white robes. They gathered on a hilltop and joyously waited for the Lord's return. Well, the date came, but Jesus didn't. The world did not end. So he chose another date 1 year later, and he failed again. Then there was a man named Charles Taz Russell, Jehovah's Witness. He predicted October 1874. And he said only his followers would be aware of Jesus' return. And that to all others, the return of Jesus would be invisible. And then he failed again, or he failed on that date. And having failed, so he set the date for 1914. He called it the doomsday year. But it didn't happen. Mr. Russell died in 1916 in Pampa, Texas. You ever seen those bumper stickers? I haven't seen one in a long, long time. But it said, in case of rapture, this car will be unmanned. Meaning just only certain ones would be, only know about Jesus' second coming, and they would be lifted up. There was a man named Albert Porta, meteorologist. He predicted six planets will come together on December 19, on 1919. There would be a cataclysmic event that would end the world. Of course, the planets lined up. But it wasn't the end of the world. Then there was a man named Judge Joseph Franklin Rutherford. He picked up where Mr. Russell left off. So he began making predictions of his own. In 1920, he published a book titled, Millions Now Living Will Never Die. And in that book, Millions Now Living Will Never Die, he said that Jesus would come in 1925, so 5 years later. And he said the righteous dead would be resurrected. Old people would return to youth. I don't know what youth means, whether it's 21 or 39. I wonder if those who were younger than what he referred to as youth would get older. But he just said you're going to return to youth. And they would live forever on the earth and never again seeing death. He also said that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and other Old Testament people would be visible on earth. Judge Rutherford even bought a house right here in San Diego. The address is 4440 Braeburn Road. It's in the Kensington, there's a picture of it. It's in the Kensington Heights area of San Diego. So he built that house for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He had a three-car garage, a Model T in each garage. I don't know what Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would do for a driver's license. But he built a house, 4440 Braeburn Road. I know a lot of you people are getting your phones out right now and you're Googling. 4440 Braeburn, just for your information, Braeburn Road.
It's a nice name. It's a nice name.
Judge Rutherford died, and all of his date setting proved false. Didn't happen. Then you had Edgar Casey, he's a famed psychic. He thought 1936. But no, that didn't happen either. You remember Hal Lindsey? Lived long enough. Remember him back in 1970, he wrote a book titled The Late Great Planet Earth. He predicted a rapture in 1988. It didn't happen. But one of his followers, a man named Edgar Wisenet, pinned it down to September 12, 1988. And that didn't happen. Amazing. Bill Maupin. This is from the San Diego Union. I cut these out when I see something like this. This was in the Evening Tribune back then in 1981. San Diego had a morning and evening paper. There was the Union and the Evening Tribune. This was in June 3rd, 1981. Got as going up, question mark, going up. Members of the Lighthouse Gospel Tract Foundation in Tucson study their Bibles in advance of the group's anticipated ascension on June 28, 1981. Many quit their jobs, sold their belongings, and spent full time preparing for the ascension. So it made the paper. So on June 3rd, 1981, that's the day. They said June 28. This was written on June 3rd, but June 28, according to spiritual leader Bill Maupin, when God will bodily lift up his followers and Jesus will be waiting for them at cloud level. Members of the sect won't be gathering at any special place on the 28th. They believe they'll rise from wherever they happen to be. Yeah. Well, June 28 came and left. So it made the papers again on August 7, 1981. Members of a Bible prophecy sect expect to ascend to heaven tonight to avoid what they say are satanic legions preparing to take over the earth. Bill Maupin, head of Lighthouse Gospel Tract Foundation, was not disappointed when the rapture ascent he predicted for June 28 failed to materialize. He said God showed him that August 7 was the correct date. He said, people who are saved will escape the worst trouble the world has ever known. A tyrannical government that will collapse when the whole earth is burned by fire by May 14, 1988. So he says 7 years after the rapture, then the earth is going to be destroyed. Did you ever hear of Harold Camping? The national radio person. Made the headlines too. In the San Diego Union on May 22nd, 2011, just a decade or so ago, I used to listen to Harold Camping. I was always curious. He had a radio show, came out 1:30 in the afternoon, so during the summers I could listen to Harold Camping talk about the end of the world coming. Worried about that. The headline is, the world doesn't end and the prophet is 0 for 2. Said on the May 21st doomsday message was sent far and wide via billboards, broadcasts, and websites by Camping. He's an 89-year-old preacher. Said according to Camping, the destruction was likely to have begun its worldwide march as it becomes 6 p.m. in the various time zones. Although some believers said Saturday, the exact timing was never written in stone, but Camping said his earlier apocalyptic prediction of 1994 didn't come true because of a mathematical error. Well, that one. Wondering why it didn't come true. Then on Tuesday, May 24th, 2011, California preacher Harold Camping said Monday his prophecy the world would end was off by 5 months because Judgment Day will actually come on October 21st. Didn't happen. October 2008 made the news. Newspaper, 2008. I have a picture here. It says the Reverend David Jeremiah, pastor of Shadow Mountain Church, shown here in his ministry's broadcast studio, has written a book exploring 10 prophetic clues he says point to the coming of the end of the world. David Jeremiah. What was the date on that? October 4th, 2008. So that he made the news. The pages of failed end-of-the-world prophecies could make up a whole New Testament. Now there's the Reverend, this was by a religious writer for the Union Tribune. She says, now there's the Reverend David Jeremiah, an East County mega pastor and TV evangelist, who says the end is coming. In the words of a familiar church song, soon and very soon. The new book, due to hit bookstores next week, Jeremiah offers 10 prophetic clues he says point to an imminent conclusion that many Christians have clung to for 2,000 years. The rapture, then it says, when the faithful will be summoned instantly into heaven. Followed by the tribulation, a 7-year period of turmoil. Then there will come Armageddon, the final battle of good versus evil. And then comes the second coming of Jesus to reign on earth. It's according to David Jeremiah. Jeremiah doesn't set a date in the book, what in the world is going on, but his urgency is clear. His return, meaning Jesus, is close at hand, he writes, adding that Christians should be motivated as never to live in readiness. Then he wisely said, I have no intention of setting any dates or saying this is when this is going to happen, Jeremiah says. All I'm saying is some of the things that the word of God prophesied would take place as we near this time, and they're happening in ways you cannot contradict. So he's looking at the world events and saying, it seems to me that the second coming of Jesus is imminent. So I put in your notes, you know, we don't know when Jesus is coming again. But we do have knowledge about the moment of Jesus coming. Now, you don't understand the difference. There's nothing secret about the day of the Lord or the second coming. But notice that all the signs of Jesus' second coming are at the moment of his coming. And that all the signs of Jesus coming again are in the sky. Let me say that again. All the signs from the Bible story is that the signs of Jesus coming again are in the sky, not on earth. Don't take me to Matthew chapter 24 because that doesn't have anything to do with the second coming of Jesus. Except when Jesus says, you don't know when he's coming again. All the signs of Jesus coming are in the sky, at the moment of his coming. He's coming visibly, Acts chapter 1, verse 11. He'll so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. In Revelation 1, verse 7, behold, he's coming with clouds, and every eye will see him. Every eye, nothing secret about Jesus coming. The sign of Jesus coming is when you see him. He's coming visibly. Second, he's coming with sound, nothing secret. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. He's coming visibly, he's coming with sound, and you won't know it till you see it. He's coming on the clouds. Matthew 26, verse 64, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. When you see Jesus coming, that's the sign. There are no signs before. In Revelation 1, verse 7, behold, he's coming with clouds. He's coming with angels, and you don't know it till the moment of the coming. In Matthew 16, verse 27, the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels. He will reward each according to his works. Coming with glory, with his angels. He's coming in flaming fire. When Paul says to you who are troubled, rest with us. At the coming of the Lord Jesus from heaven with his angels in flaming fire, rendering vengeance on those, and he mentions two types of people, rendering vengeance on those who know not God and those who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his might. He's coming without warning, as a thief, in an hour you think not. You know not the hour of his coming. They're not, signs of Jesus coming are not on the earth. There's wars and rumors of wars in every generation for the last 2,000 years. Don't you take me back to Matthew 24. You restudy that. Look at it again. The signs of Jesus coming are in the sky, not on the earth. Every sign, and you won't know it till the moment it happens. It's always been imminent of his coming. So what are we to do with this information? What do you want to do with all the stuff I've just been telling you? It was in our text this morning. Seeing then that all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy living and godliness? There's your answer. I'm giving you some information about his second coming. But what about the information? Just says, Jesus said, just watch. Be ready. What manner of persons ought you to be? Looking for and hastening the day of the Lord. There's no guarantee about the length of God's delay. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, we need to be ready today for the second coming. Jesus' followers or Christians in every generation are supposed to be ready, and we're required to be ready. Generations from now, if the Lord doesn't come first, are to be ready for the second coming. Now, Jesus never said, 2,000 years from now, I'll give you signs on earth about my coming. Never said that. Jesus never gave a timeline. And when he's coming, he's not coming with a 30-minute sermon on the importance of baptism. Don't expect that. When Jesus comes again, he's not coming with an invitation song, giving us time to obey. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. So at the close of every lesson, we extend an invitation, because now is the time. Get ready. So I want you to hear the gospel, the good news that God so loved the world. I want you to believe it, as Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. I want you to believe a good news, amazing grace message. And then I'll require you to repent, as Jesus said himself in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. Except you repent, you'll only in like manner perish. I don't want to perish. And then as Philip was teaching the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8, preached unto him Jesus. And yet the Ethiopian interrupts his message and says, well, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? He said, well, if you believe, you may. And he makes a confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And hearing that, Philip commanded the chariot to stand still. Stop the chariot. And they both went down into the water and Philip baptized him. They came up out of the water and the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. You've heard me say it. Salvation is always an occasion of rejoicing. Always. Every time. You rejoice and we rejoice with you and the heavens rejoice. There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. Luke chapter 15. So that's the invitation we extend at the close of every lesson. We sing a song of encouragement to help you make that decision. So if that's your resolve, if that's your desire this morning to be baptized for remission of sins, we can accomplish it. Let's stand together and sing the song that Dennis has selected for us. If that's your resolve, simply come to the front while we're singing this song and let your desire be known.